Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to Luke chapter 7 and verse 50. In fact, the last three words in verse 50. Go in peace. The whole verse reads, and he, that is our Lord Jesus Christ, said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace. We have read in the portion this evening of two women, and both of them were told by the Lord to go in peace. The first one, this woman here that entered into the Pharisee's house, and she comes with her alabaster box of ointment, and she then stands behind him weeping, as recorded in verse 38, began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. It's very obvious that she saw in the Lord Jesus Christ one that was very precious to her, more precious than this ointment. Another account, similar account, worth 300 pence, and yet this woman counted it worthy to bestow upon Jesus of Nazareth. She saw in him what others did not see in him, and this was shown by the great affection and how humbled she was before him. And it is when she did this that the Pharisee has some objection to it, because he knew that she was a notorious sinner. And he thought, well, if the Lord was really a prophet, he wouldn't allow this sinful woman anywhere near him. You know, it may be with us tonight. We come, we gather together in the house of God, or gather with us online, and we may feel so full of sin and so full of evil, so unlike the people of God. And what a word to have before us like this. Here is a person like this. Others in that room, they acknowledged it so. Their thought was, the Lord wouldn't have anything to do with them. Maybe your thought is that the Lord will have nothing to do with you. You can't come into the house of God. You can't come with the people of God. You can't be forgiven. You can't be blessed. You think so much of your life, your sins, your past life, what you are. One of our hymns says, sinners can say, and none but they, how precious is the Saviour. Simon was a Pharisee. He couldn't see his own sin. He thought he was righteous. He thought he was godly. He thought he was holy. He had no need of the Lord. He didn't show any affection or any care over the Lord. But this woman did. And the Lord highlighted this when he gave this Pharisee a little parable, when he spoke of two people that were debtors. They owed money. One owed a lot, one owed a little. Both were forgiven what they owed. And he asked this question, who would love the most? The one that had been forgiven, or told that they did not need to pay that amount, or the one that only had a little debt? And he rightly supposed that to whom he forgave most. What a lesson in the gospel. It will be those that realize they're the greatest sinners, that being forgiven, they will love the Lord more than those who don't have such sense of that sinnership. We can think of it even in an outward way. There may be those brought up, and it's a great privilege to be brought up under the sound of the truth. And there may be those that have had godly parents, they've hardly erred from the right way, kept outwardly, maybe done nothing to bring them into knowledge of the authorities or even get into trouble at school. And the Lord has been pleased to bless them. They remained in the house of God and maybe brought to true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then there may be others that have not been brought under the sound of the truth, or if they had, rebelled and gone away, gone to great lengths of sin, forsaken their fill of the world and worldly company, and maybe even in prison and in trouble with the authorities, and everything that could be wrong was wrong. And yet the Lord has blessed them and given them to seek repentance and given them godly sorrow, and he's brought them to love him and to receive mercy, forgiveness and pardon through him. And how they love the Lord. How they look upon him so different. Why they have such a debt. They're so mindful of all that they've done, all that they've said. The Lord Jesus Christ was given the name of Jesus that he would save his people from their sins. And you know, sin, where there is sin, there is trouble. Where there's sin, there's death. Where there's sin and that sin is not pardoned, there is trouble of conscience. Where it is laid upon that soul, there is a sentence of death within. There's a knowing that we are not prepared to die, we're not able to die. We feel our guilt, and there's no peace. The Word of God says, there's no peace, saith my soul, to the wicked. And there is not. Separated from God, alienated from God through wicked works, there is no peace. You know, when Jehu was raised up in the time of the kings to execute the judgment of the Lord on the wicked house of Ahab, and when he came against those kings in his chariot, they sent out and they asked, is there peace? And he said, how can there be peace? How can there be peace with all the wickedness and all the evil that is being done in Israel under those ungodly kings? In the days of the prophets, Jeremiah, the faithful prophet of the Lord, had to contend with false prophets that said to the people, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Israel was walking contrary to the Lord, doing all manner of abominations, even worse than the heathen around them, sacrificing their children to gods, causing them to go through the fire. And yet these false prophets said there was peace. They had no authority to say that. They couldn't give peace. And those that accepted of it or believed it, they were destroyed when the armies of Assyria or the armies of Babylon came in as God's servants to execute judgment upon them. Wherever there is sin, Wherever there is death because of sin, there is not peace. There's not peace in this poor world. Not a lasting peace, not eternal peace. We seek for it, we think we've obtained it in one way or another way, and then something comes and it mars it and it takes it away. But this dear woman, the Lord says to her, go in peace. Then we have the second woman in chapter 8, and she has an infirmity, issue of blood for 12 years. She tried all that she could to get healed of that without success, and then she heard of the Lord, and she came through the press, through the great crowd that was round about him. She came behind him in verse 44 of chapter 8 and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood staunched. The bleeding that she'd had all those years was healed. And the Lord knew that someone had touched him in a way that virtue had gone from him, somebody had been healed. What a lesson that is. The Lord knows those that he's healed. He knows those that he blesses. He's not ignorant of them. It won't be said of those that are truly healed by the Lord when they appear in the presence of God, depart from me, I never knew you. The Lord knows his people, and he knows those that he's blessed, and he knows those who he has healed and given peace, and those who he has suffered, bled and died for on Calvary's tree. The kingdom of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are his. And we read as well our Lord saying, no man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. This woman was drawn to the Lord, drawn to touch him. She also, like the other, saw that hope and that virtue, and saw what was in the Lord Jesus Christ that brought her to venture. We might ask ourselves, have we been attracted and drawn unto the Lord? To her as well. And this is in healing. He says, thy faith hath made thee whole, go in peace. And we can be sure both of these dear women, they went in peace. One with the word spoken that her sins were forgiven and pardoned. And this one, no doubt the forgiveness of sins bound up with it, but that her illness was healed and go in peace. Go in peace. What a blessed thing it would be for us that the Lord would speak this to us. And whether it was that, like them, that there they went on their way and it was in peace, or whether it may be in a new pathway in life and we're uncertain, we don't know what to do and whether to go or whether not, to be told by the Lord, go in peace. To be given that help. You know, when Jacob saw the wagons and heard the tidings that his son Joseph was still alive in Egypt, he went. He says, I'll go and see him before I die. I've no doubt he was still uncertain. still going, but tremblingly. And that very first night, the Lord appeared to him and blessed him and said, "Fear not to go down into Egypt. I will be with thee. I will go down with thee. I will bring thee up again." Well, he was brought up again. He died. He was buried in Canaan, but his seed was brought up again and to dwell in Canaan. It's a great thing in the pathway of life, the changes and the places that we go, that upon venturing, upon going, that we have this word, go in peace. And especially when we come to make profession of his name, to go and speak to the house of God, the people of God, about what God has done for our souls, about how he has appeared for us and what the Lord is to us. Again, we might be very hesitant, very uncertain whether to venture or not. But if the Lord was to say to us, and may he say to any that may be with us this evening online, in this path, go in peace. What a difference that will make. You know, when I first came over to this land, when in the ministry, in the first Lord's Day, that first Lord's Day, a short notice asked to preach here. First time I ever preached in England was in this pulpit here. But then at 9 o'clock that morning, before venturing out here, I had another call from Staplehurst. "Can you come and preach to us in the afternoon?" I said to the deacon, "I must lay this before the Lord and I'll phone you back." And I put the phone down and the words dropped into my heart. The words actually of King Saul to David when he went against Goliath, "Go and the Lord be with thee." And that is what I preach from. And that was used in, I believe, in bringing John Rosier to go venture into the ministry. And the Lord used it then to give me the text, to give him the direction. And sometimes we need that. We need this word from the Lord. Not only to go, but go in peace. All those tumults and fears and troublings of mind and questionings whether we're doing the right thing or not, or whether we could go or not. When the Lord says go in peace, then it is all stayed. When the Lord calmed the winds and the raging of the water there in the boat, they ceased, and there was a calm. There was peace. What authority the Lord has. I believe some of us have known that. When the waves of trouble and certainty, of questionings and fears, they've all been stilled and all been brought to peace. Think of that beautiful word, and we've had it applied, we know what it means. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Well, I want to think then this evening, how did these women obtain this peace? Because in looking at how they obtained it, then we shall be given lessons and a pointer as to how we also may obtain this peace. And there's three main things, and I'll name these points, and then we'll go back and we'll have a look at them in more detail. The first thing is this, that they, in their trouble, and it was trouble that they both had, in their trouble, they went to Jesus. That was the first thing. The second thing is that they both had faith given them. Before the words of our text and before that spoken in verse 48 in chapter 8, it is faith, thy faith hath made thee whole, and thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. The third was, their peace was spoken to them by the Lord. By the Lord. He had authority to do so. Well, let us look then at these points a little more closely. Firstly, they, in their trouble, they went to Jesus. Does it matter really whom we go to? You know, the Roman Catholic Church will teach that we may go to a priest, to a man, and that we may confess our sins to him and that he will pronounce forgiveness and peace. The Bible does not teach that. We are to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners, not to sinners. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, wherewith shall he be accounted of? We are to confess our sins before the Lord. How clearly we have it in the epistles of John, the first epistle. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that confession is unto the Lord. How vital it is that whatever our experience, whatever our religion, whatever our faith is, if it is a true faith, if it is a true work of the Holy Spirit of God, it will always lead to Christ, always lead to Jesus. The Holy Spirit, our Lord said, he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Always the effect of God's work is to draw a sinner to Christ. He says, and I, if I be lifted up above the earth, will draw all men unto me. There's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. The great privilege under the gospel is that we may go direct to the Lord, not through man, not through a priest, not through any other means, but direct in prayer to the Lord. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. We seek unto the Lord by prayer. We seek him in his word. We seek him in his sanctuary. But we seek the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the house to me if the master I cannot see? We desire that the Lord will be there. And these dear women, they came to the Lord. They came directly to him, not just in the house and someone else was close to the Lord. Both of them, they were touching him, they were with him. They had to be brought nigh. There's no use being an outer court worshipper. No use being one that has no communication with our Lord Jesus Christ. Why was it so necessary that they came to him? Because he had the power to give peace, real peace, the authority. Why? Because he is the sinner's substitute, was to endure the wrath of God in himself on Calvary's tree, to bear the sin of many, to take away their sins on Calvary's tree. That is what he has done. God could not, we speak reverently, he could not from his eternal throne and using his almighty power just speak peace to guilty, hell-deserving sinners. To be able to speak peace to them, he must first endure the wrath of God himself. He must first bear their sins in his body on the tree. He must first make a way that there can be peace. And that is only when the debt is settled. Our Lord spoke there of the parable of those that owed little and those much. But when that debt is just frankly forgiven, it is settled. There is justice with the Lord. There is always justice. You know, we don't like to see injustices in the world, do we? We might get those that are held up before the courts have done something very wrong. But what if we heard that the court had let them go free? So why did you let them go free? Well, they spoke of some charity works that they'd done and they had a good reference from their employer, and so it didn't matter that they'd injured this person or stolen these things, because all of these other good works, they'd make up for it. We wouldn't think that was justice, would we? There's many that will say, well, I'm a good person. I'm good to people. I'm not a sinner. I'm not so bad at all. In effect, they're saying, well, those things that are not perfect in my life, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that I'll make up those by some good things that I have done. I don't need the Lord. I don't need his precious blood. I don't need his salvation, because I can balance it with my own works. That will never ever stand in the court of heaven. And that's why we need the Lord. That's why we need to come before him, that he atone for all of our sins, blot them all out, endure the wrath of God for all of them. And so then has the authority to speak peace to our souls. You know, if we owed a debt with a firm and we had a friend that said, I will go and I'll settle your debt, and you were very worried about this, but if they then went and they settled the debt and they paid your bills and then came to you and said, now you don't need to worry at all, here's the receipt, go in peace. You'd go in peace because you saw the evidence, you'd realize the debt was paid. But if they came and they said, look, I couldn't find them, but don't worry, just go in peace anyway, you'd be really worried, wouldn't you? Because you'd think that debt was still on your account. Or if they came back and there was no receipt, there was no evidence of it whatsoever. But with the Lord Jesus Christ, we have an empty tomb, a risen Saviour, and the Lord's presence in heaven, and the promise of the Holy Spirit to send forth his word and to bless the word, and the accounts of the miracles of the apostles, and the blessing of the ministry of the apostles is proof of our Lord's presence in heaven and the gift of the Holy Spirit and of the acceptance of his sacrifice atoning for sin. It is vital that we come to the only name given among men whereby we must be saved. We're to have the peace that these women had. This is the first thing. Our aim, our desire should be Jesus only, and that we seek unto the Lord. Pray to him. Call upon me. Call upon the Lord. And seek him in his word. The second thing is this. They had faith given them. This was spoken to both these accounts. And it struck me when we read this portion this evening, the contrast between these two women and the disciples in the boat. And faith is, in one aspect, it is trusting, isn't it? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It is a trusting in his salvation, a trusting in his word, a trusting in his power, a casting all upon him, relying upon him. But the dear disciples, when they're in the boat, they cried, they said, Master, Master, we perish. In verse 24, chapter 8, then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? Where is your faith? What a different word to that spoken to the dear women. With them, he said to them that it was because of their faith that they were healed. Thy faith hath made thee whole, go in peace. Thy faith has saved thee, go in peace. It's spoken of as theirs. And we're told in Hebrews 12, the Lord is the author and finisher of our faith. By grace ye are saved through faith, and that is faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. God gives faith, sovereignly, freely gives faith. And faith here was evidenced in these two women in their venturing to the Lord Jesus Christ. In all that they did, in their venturing to touch, in their venturing to get near, to wash his feet, to anoint them, to be crying before him. The effect of faith, it will lead to the giver of faith. True faith, it supports the soul. Imagined faith, we've got to support it. Now sometimes you see the dear friends in the aged people's homes, and it may have been deemed that they need some help in walking, and they're given a walking frame. But you know, I've seen some of those friends, and they walk along and they carry the frame, and instead of it being a help, it's a burden to them. They'd be better off without it rather than just carrying it. Then you see others, and they're walking along and they're leaning hard upon that frame. They need it. The whole weight is upon it. It supports them. They are not supporting it. And where the Lord gives through faith, then that will be that which brings us to the Lord. It'll bring forth those fruits of a soul led to Christ. And faith will always, it will trust in Thee, Lord, and in His holy word. Now those without faith, they pick and choose what they hear of the word of God. They have their ideas of how they can be saved, or what God requires, and what He loves, and what He doesn't love. But where we have true faith, we'll read the word of God, and we'll come to know what the Lord loves, and know what He hates, and hear the word of God, and that will be our guide, and we'll trust in that. Faith is that which reads and trusts and hangs upon the word of God. Thou saidst, I will surely do thee good. The whole gospel, the good news of salvation, is to be received by faith. Believed that God has done what He has done. Believe that Christ has accomplished what He has accomplished. And believe that there is salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a way of escape. There is hope for poor sinners. That is what faith does. It brings one to venture upon the Lord. If I perish, I perish. But convinced of this, if ever my poor soul be saved, the hymn writer says, 'tis Christ must be the way. Another hymn, I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from Thee. Realizing how valuable, how indispensable, how vital our Lord Jesus Christ is. In the third place, their peace was spoken to them by the Lord. They didn't just speak it into their own soul. There was a time when they were weeping. There was a time when they were pressing, venturing. But then there was a time that they were hearing His voice. And they were hearing Him speaking peace. And that was spoken by the Lord, the authority of heaven. Now, the Lord may, of course, speak through His servants. And our Lord is ascended into heaven, and His servants are sent forth to preach the word of God. He that receiveth you, receiveth me. He that receiveth me, says our Lord, receiveth him that sent me. The Apostle Paul says of the Thessalonians, that ye receive the word, as it is in truth the word of God, and not the word of man. When we preach the word. That is our commission, preach the word. And as the word then is spoken and preached, authoritatively declared in the ministry, God uses that. He speaks that into the souls of His people, conveying peace and comfort and blessing through that word. We think of how it was with Hannah in the days of Eli, when she came childless, begging of the Lord that He would give a man-child, promising that if He did, she would lend him to the Lord forever. Eli first mistook her for a woman that was drunken. Her voice was not heard. Her lips were just moving in prayer. But when he understood, he said this. He said, "The Lord, go in peace, go in peace. The Lord give thee the petition that thou hast asked of him." And the Lord did. The Lord gave Samuel, and later on she comes and she says, "I am the woman. For this child I prayed, and God hath given me my petition that I asked of him." And we read of her when she went away. She still was not pregnant. She still had not got the child, but she had got what Eli said, go in peace. And we read that she went away and was no more sad. A wonderful thing. We went away from the house of God, from the word this evening, and were no more sad. Come sad. Started to hear sad. and then went away, no more sad, no more sad. Peace conveyed through the word, through the truth. The Holy Spirit applying the word, and a conviction felt within that what you have heard is the truth, it is the word of God, and there is peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. We sung it in our first hymn, didn't we? Beautiful hymn, peace by his cross has Jesus made. Well, may we know that peace spoken into our hearts, and may we go from the house of God this evening with that peace, peace through the precious blood of the Lamb of God, trusting that he lived and died for us and put away our sin and paid our debt, and bids us go in peace. You know, we think of the dear disciples when they were persecuted. Being let go, they went to their own company. The Lord speak peace and blessing in your soul in this way. Your own company, my own company, will be the people of God. It'll draw us to them. It'll draw us to the house of God. It'll draw us to those that know this same Jesus. We'll be followers of him and followers of his dear people. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.